from the book of Matthew and the chapter 13. 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Our reading commences at verse 1, and we will read in the chapter down to verse 23. Parable of the sower is the reading, verse 1 to 23 of Matthew 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon the stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We'll end our reading at verse 23. And the knowledge of the Lord will bless publicly the reading of his word to our hearts for Jesus Christ's sake. Now let's open God's word at the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to look this morning for a few moments at that passage which we read earlier, which is one of the parables, the many parables which our Lord spoke in that particular chapter of that gospel. Matthew chapter 13. It opens with these words, The same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. It had been a very momentous day for our Lord Jesus Christ. He had performed a great miracle in casting the devil out of a man, and he had also been challenged yet again by his critics. His mother and his brothers had feared for his safety, and they had come and they had sought to regulate his work. But he draws aside from all these things, and he comes and sits by the seaside, and as the multitudes gather to hear his word, he steps into a boat, he sits down there and preaches from that place the gospel of the kingdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ despite the eventful and momentous day that he had, was never slow to teach or to take up the truth or to apply it personally, even to the multitudes. And that really is a sort of heart and sort of preaching and attitude that every gospel minister needs. Not to alter the message because of personal circumstances, not to trim the truth of the gospel for the sake of great numbers that are there because of the offence that it might cause or otherwise, but just simply, when the opportunity is given, despite any difficulty personally, just to bring the truth and apply it simply and powerfully to those that the Lord brings to our pathway. So the same day Jesus went out of the house, he sat by the seaside, then he got into the boat, and then he preached the gospel to them. You always admire, or should admire, the wonderful, simple fashion in which he taught the people. The common people, the Bible says, heard him gladly. Not because his talk was low or cheap, but because of the method of his teaching and the spirit of power which was his. The common people heard him gladly, and he teaches them here in a simple but a pointed fashion through the parables that he preaches. This chapter is full of parables from beginning to end, and we are going to look just at the very first one, which is the parable of the sower. There are three things which are outstanding in these verses. First, there is the sower. Secondly, there is the seed. And thirdly, there is the ground. The sower. A sower went forth to sow. That speaks to me of the Lord Jesus, because he went out the same day and he scattered the truth abroad so that his hearers could have the truth. It reminds us also of the Christian witness. God gives us the seed of his word, the Bible says, which is incorruptible seed, which lives and abides forever. He gives it not to hoard it to ourselves, but to scatter it wherever we go. We have the sower and we have the seed. The seed Jesus calls in verse 19, the kingdom, or the word rather, of the kingdom. Matthew Henry said, the kingdom of heaven, that is the kingdom. The gospel comes from that kingdom. The gospel conducts to that kingdom. The word of the gospel is the word of that kingdom. It is the word of the king. And the Bible says that where the word of the king is, there is power. We must take that word and bring it to others. We must scatter the good seed of God's word to those that we come into contact with. But the third outstanding thing of this parable, not only do we have the sower and the seed, but we have also the different grounds upon which the seed fell. There were four types of ground which Jesus speaks of as he tells the parable and then as he explains the parable in the later verses. And here we're reminded not merely that we must take heed to what we hear. We must be careful that what we hear is the truth of the gospel. But we must also take care how we hear. For there are many people who hear the gospel and it has no saving effect or power in them whatsoever. It may fall upon them, upon their heart, and they may receive it in some respect gladly. But it's one thing to receive the word, it's another thing to be actually saved by the word. And therefore we must take heed how we hear. That's one of the lessons which emerges from this parable of the sower. We're going to look this morning at the closing moments of this meeting at the four grounds upon which the seed, the good seed, fell. And they represent four different types of people who hear God's word and upon whom God's word has no lasting or saving effect, or at least the first three do. First of all, in verse 4 and verse 19, you have the wayside hearer. Jesus spoke in verse 4 at the beginning, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, the fowls came and devoured them up. The wayside was a hard pathway, sometimes that ran through the cornfield. It was untouched by the plough, so there was no opportunity for the ground to be turned over to be made ready to receive the seed. The seed had no real opportunity to sink into the earth. The surface had been trampled on as well. It had become hard. It had become impenetrable. And so when the seed fell on it, it lay perfectly exposed to the birds overhead who would swoop down and eat it, take it to themselves. By verse 19, Jesus explains what he means by the wayside here. He said, there are some that hear the word of the kingdom, and they understand it not, And then comes the wicked one and catches away the seed which was sown in his heart. All of you that are here today have the privilege of hearing the word of the kingdom, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and King of heaven and of earth, and the King of his believing people, has given to us the gospel which is the word of the kingdom. And there is no greater privilege that I could have, or that you could have, than in hearing this morning the word of the kingdom. So all of us are alike privileged. Faith is something which is not inevitable because we hear the word, but it's certainly possible. Nobody is saved apart from hearing the word. Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But the tragic thing is this, that while many hear the gospel, they do not understand it in a saving fashion. And that is brought out to us in verse 13. Jesus said, I speak in parables to some because they see not, and hearing they hear not, they don't understand. Verse 19, the wayside hearer, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Is there someone in this meeting this morning, and that's a perfect description of your spiritual state and condition? What is it this morning that you don't understand? Let me put it this way, have you tried to understand? Let me add another word, that if you read the word of God and took up the Bible which you have and read it prayerfully, then you might understand. The psalmist said, for instance, through thy precepts I get understanding. Then if you ask for wisdom, you would understand. The tragic thing is that many who listened to Jesus had said of them, but they understood not that saying, and they were afraid to ask him. Never be afraid to ask for light upon the word of God. God says, the entrance of thy word, his word gives light. Ask him for understanding and wisdom, and you might understand. Then if you ask God for the will to obey, but you don't have it yourself and you have to ask him for it. If you ask God for the will to obey that word when it's revealed to you, then you'd understand. Think of Jesus' promise. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And the will to obey comes not from within, it comes from God. He gives the will to obey. Tragically, the reason why many don't understand is because their hearts are hardened, just like the wayside path through the cornfield. It's hardened through habit. The ground was continually trampled upon. Sometimes the hearts of people are trampled upon merely by force of habit. They have hardened their own hearts. Or perhaps the continual mockery of others has caused their hearts to be hardened. And they know that if they were to come to Christ and surrender entirely to him, receive him by faith as Lord and Savior, it would make a difference. And others, perhaps in the family circle, would mock and jeer at them. And so the hard heart has become harder still because that person has yielded to the habit of continual mockery which they've received. Let me say that those who fail to understand the gospel, whose hearts are hard like the wayside, you are in the most dangerous and serious condition. How does Jesus describe your condition? He says in verse 19, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that seed which was sown in his heart. Just as a little bird swooped down upon the seed upon the hard ground that it could spy with its eye and took it. So Satan is active where the gospel is preached. He does not want you to believe. You can be sure of it. There's only one person that does not want you to understand and to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, and that's Satan. His activity is described in verse 19. He catcheth away the seed. His aim is described in Luke 8, verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. We see the devil's alertness here in verse 19. Then he comes. When does he come? After the meeting is over? Oh no, the word is being sown. Even now, Satan does not like the preaching of God's word. Even now, it may be that some distracting thought of something or another has been planted in the heart of some person. Satan's attempt it is to wreck that soul for eternity. Oh, if you're a wayside hearer, your heart is hardened by one thing or another, you're in the most dangerous condition. We not only have the wayside here, we have the stony ground here in verse 5 and 6. And some fell upon stony places, they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth of earth. Now here was a piece of ground upon which the farmer sowed, which was much more promising. The plough, unlike the first part, the wayside, the plough had actually turned this part of the field, at least slightly, and the soil had turned over. But it wasn't without some disappointment. For the ground was stony, and the stones now lay near the surface with only a very shallow covering of earth or soil. It would be hard for the seed to grow here, but at the beginning this part of the field certainly seemed a bit more promising than the first part. And forthwith, the Bible says, they sprung up. They sprung up. It wasn't long before the farmer saw some real result, or apparently real result anyway, for his labour. There was definite growth, and the blades of the grass of the plant began to shoot up through the soil. This looked promising. He had only just begun to sow the seed. It looked as if he was getting fruit already. And yet, while there was a promise that the seed, when the seed was cast on the stony ground, if you look at the explanation that Jesus gives, there was also disappointment. And when the sun was at its height, that scorching, intense heat of the eastern sun caused the little plant to shrivel up and to die away. And Jesus tells us, as he explains this parable, in verse 20 and verse 21, he shows us that there are some people of whom this is a perfect description of their religious experience. Look at verse 20. He that received the seed into the stony places, is he the word that hears the word, and along with joy receives it? Now it's good that you should hear the word. We don't despise people receiving the word. We don't despise them receiving it anon, that is, quickly. Some people are only too glad to turn away God's word because they don't like it. Here's promise. They heard it, they received it, they received it quickly, and they received it with joy. So that those that saw the seed fall upon that ground had cause to rejoice when they saw the plant spring up. And sometimes in the cause of Christ and in the witness of the Christian church, we do come across people who seem to be like that, like genuine converts. They hear the word, they receive it. They receive it quickly. And what's more, they receive it with joy. And we think to ourselves, well, here's something of promise. Oh, surely here's a genuine convert. Surely here's one in whom the word of God is working in a saving fashion. The answer is no. As verse 6 says, when the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 21 in the application, Jesus says, there are some that have not root in themselves. They endure for a while, and by they are offended. And that teaches us some important truths. First of all, it reminds us that a quick response to the gospel is not always a genuine response. Secondly, a joyful response to the gospel is not always a genuine response either. There can be emotion in the receiving of the gospel, and yet no spiritual life there whatsoever. It's rather like the lemonade bottle when you take the screw cap off it, and it bubbles for a while, and then the life is gone. It's gone. And there's great danger if your profession of Christianity is merely built upon emotion and excitement. There's a lot of religion like that in the world today, but Jesus shows that if that is the only root that a man has for profession, then it will wither away. And when real persecution arises because of the word, that man will be offended. And that which seemed to be promising will be full of bitter disappointment. You see, there is a joy in receiving the word, but there's sometimes a joy which is thoughtless. And there are people who anon receive the word with joy, but their joy is a joy which at the beginning overlooks the cost of being a Christian. There is a price to be paid for being a Christian. Those who practice the art of syncretism try and merge various religions together. It's almost like an attempt to take away the offense of the gospel, to make it easier to be a Christian. But a real Bible-believing Christian, there is a price to be paid for being that person. We have to cast away some things, like the man in the parable at the end of verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, which a man, when he hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now here's the test. Would you be willing to give up anything for Christ? I mean, anything for him? Your pride, which keeps you from coming to him, and so on and so forth. there's a price to be paid. There are things that you must give up in order to be a Christian. There are things that you must be prepared to give up. There are some things which you must be prepared to take. And verse 21 of this parable says, a Christian must be prepared, a person must be prepared to take persecution because of the word. If you love the word, if you know the word, if you want to be saved by that word, you've got to be prepared to take offense because of that word. People will not like a man who's dedicated wholeheartedly to the truth of the word, to the good seed of the gospel. People will hate him. He will hate them. Not everybody, perhaps, but some will hate. In fact, didn't Jesus say, you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake? You'll be hated for Christ's name's sake. There's a price to be paid for being Christian. But still, with joy, you can receive the gospel because you know that through him, that though you may be a loser for him, you will never, never, never be a loser by him. The Bible says concerning our Lord, he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Are you one of the wayside hearers? Are you a thorny ground? Are you a thorny ground hearer? Are you like this person here in the which is described, who fell upon the stony places? Are you like him? What is it that lies at the root of your profession? It's mere joy. It's thoughtless joy which has not counted the cost of standing for Christ. And I tell you, whatever it is at the root of your profession, if it's not the blood of Christ at the root of your profession, whatever it is, be it religious excitement or emotionalism, if you haven't got the blood of Christ at the root of your profession, it will wither away and prove but painted pageantry to go to hell in. Need the blood of Christ at the root of your profession. Are you a person like a stony ground here? You're excited, but you're not converted. You're charmed, but you're not changed. You've got plenty of feeling, but no real faith. Thirdly, we have the thorny ground here in verse 7 and 22. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The application in verse 22. He also received the seed among the thorns as he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. On this ground, when the seed was cast, the bramble sprung up, it wrapped itself around the seed, it choked it, it suffocated the life. The thorns sucked up the moisture from the soil and made it impossible for the seed to germinate. And that represents a person who hears the gospel, but is distracted from it by a number of things. First, by the cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? Well, the cares of this life are simply the anxieties and troubles of life. They're numerous. They're the things that we're concerned about. They're the things that you and I care for. The things that we desire most, the things that we love most are the cares of this life. And all of us have cares in this life. But we're not to let them distract us from hearing and from heeding the gospel call to come to Christ. Worldly cares are a great hindrance to you profiting from God's word. And those who are careful and troubled about many things seem so often to miss the one thing that matters most, their need of Christ as a personal Savior. Some other people are distracted, verse 22, by the deceitfulness of riches. And they hear the word, but it has no saving effect upon them because they're caught up in doing other things. Now, the Bible never condemns hard work. It never condemns industry. Doesn't condemn those things, and Jesus doesn't condemn them here. And it's not necessarily wrong to work hard and to raise up an estate. Bible never says that money is a root of all evil. Doesn't say it. Riches are not in themselves necessarily wrong. But there are some, as we read and dwell upon this portion of God's word, some who have thought that by success in business, the danger that arises from worldly care will be dealt with, and that thus that they can continue to be hearers of the word without being distracted by the cares of this life. And what they have done is to put their trust in temporal things in order that they might be more prepared for God's word spiritually. It simply doesn't work. And by such may hear the gospel without some distractions, they are snared by, not by riches, but by Jesus' calls, the deceitfulness of riches. They put confidence in it. They think that a man's life consists in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And that will satisfy, and that will heal the heart, and that will lift the burden. In fact, it has the opposite effect. Lord Jesus told another story about a rich farmer. And what did he do? Well, he was an industrious man. He did what he could. But he let the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches lull him into a spiritual death. And God said, as this man was planning for years ahead of him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Look, there are no riches so great, no riches so valuable than the riches of God's forgiveness, the riches of God's grace, the riches of justifying grace, the riches of sanctifying grace, of glorifying mercy and promises. No riches so great as these. You can't buy them. But they're offered freely in Jesus Christ. And yet so many look for satisfaction in temporal things. What a fool you are if you let temporal things come ahead of spiritual things, and you're spiritually dead by the deceitfulness of riches and by the cares of this life. There's one more hearer of God's word he's described in this parable. We not only have the wayside hearer, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, but there's also the good ground hearer, verse 8 and verse 23. Other fell into good ground, it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And at long last, the man who went forth to sow had some genuine success. Oh, this church has been in this road for 10 years, well, more or less 10 years. We haven't seen the numbers of conversions that we would like to see. But if this parable teaches the people of God anything, and the Christian witness anything, it teaches us that sooner or later, like our Lord himself, as we remain faithful to the good seed of the truth of the gospel, we too shall come to good ground. And sooner or later, the testimony of the preaching of the gospel will have success. We learn to be patient and expectant. We remember that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. We remember that God's word will not return unto him empty. Yes, blessing will come. Yes, sinners will be saved. That's an encouragement to us. But what is the good ground here? The good ground here is the man who does, of whom it said a number of things. He hears the word, well, so did everybody else, but something else happened. He not only heard the word, but he understood the word. He heard it, and he understood it. It's one thing to understand the word intellectually. What about understanding it in your heart? You know, you've never really understood God's word unless you realize that that word, the command of the gospel, is to you. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. But that's not for me, some say. I don't understand that as applying to me. That applies to wicked people. Perhaps like men like Osama bin Laden, or perhaps somebody like that. But it doesn't apply to me. I'm not wicked. I haven't broken God's law. Ah, but God says you have. And God doesn't tell lies. And God doesn't make mistakes. And God has said all have sinned and come short of his glory. Listen, this message applies to you. Understand this, that you're a sinner. But understand this also, that God has provided eternal salvation and security in Jesus Christ. Understand it. Because if you don't understand it, and you don't apply it to yourself, and you apply it to others, but you don't come to Christ by faith and repentance yourself, you'll be lost. You'll be like the other people. The wayside here, the stony ground here, and you'll just be one of them. Not be saved. Yes, you must hear and you must understand. And then those that hear and understand show that they have heard and understood by repentance. Look what verse 23 says. He that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and beareth fruit. You can't bear fruit unless the Lord changes your heart. The good ground was a good heart, but none of us have a holy heart or a good heart in the eyes of God, naturally speaking. Out of the heart of man proceeds an abundance of wicked things. It's only the restraining grace of God that keeps us from being less practically wicked than others. So our hearts must be changed. The heart that is changed by the application of the blood of Christ and by the calling upon his name, that heart will show that it's changed. There will be fruits of repentance. Thomas Goodwin, one of the great Puritans, said, there cannot be true sorrow for sin, true sorrow of heart for a sin that is past, but presently there doth arise a purpose not to sin in the future. Repentance not only means forgiveness of sins, It means a heart that desires not to sin and a heart that desires to obey God. Such a heart can only come by divine grace. It is the fruit of the power of the gospel within the life of the man who rests upon Christ and receives him as his Lord and as his Master. So what sort of hearer are you today? You've all heard the word. Yes, you fall under one of these categories, and so do I. Either we're stony ground hearers, wayside hearers, thorny ground hearers, or have you heard and understood the gospel? That's the thing that matters most. And Jesus says, or God says in his word, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Understand that. Understand it. Don't let it be snatched away from your heart by Satan. Understand that God gives you no other day. And if you're today, God's today is too soon for your repentance. Your tomorrow may be just too late for his acceptance. Come to Christ now. Receive him now. Trust him now. Look to him for the gift of repentance now. Ask him for his justifying mercy now. And he has said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless his word and write it in every heart for Christ's sake.